Holy Gospel according to John, the 12th chapter. 6 days before the Passover, Jesus came to Bethany, the home of Lazarus, whom he had raised from the dead. There they gave a dinner for him. Martha served, and Lazarus was one of those at the table with him. Mary took a pound of costly perfume made from pure nard and anointed Jesus' feet and wiped them with her hair. The house was filled with the fragrance of the perfume. But Judas Iscariot, one of his disciples, the one who was about to betray him, said, "Why was this perfume not sold for 300 denarii and the money given to the poor?" He said this not because he cared about the poor, but because he was a thief. He kept the common purse and used to steal what was put into it. Jesus said, "Leave her alone. She bought it so that she might keep it for the day of my burial. You always have the poor with you, but you do not always have me." I invite you to be seated. I spent the better part of 10 years of my life living in Columbus, Ohio. This behind my hometown of Kettering, this is where I've spent the most years of my life, and so I really feel like I know this city. Perhaps there's a place that you feel like this too, where you know the streets of the city. You don't get lost because you always just know you can find your way back. You know that where the traffic patterns are going to be and where the backups are going to be. You know how to get off the highway and exit early and avoid that accident. I knew Columbus like that. The sights and the sounds of the city, and I knew the smells of that city. There was one smell in particular that always caught my attention. As you would drive just north of downtown along Interstate 670, just off to the side of the highway, was the Wonder Bread Factory. Yeah. And every so often, if you drove past just at the right hour of the day, for about a 2-mile stretch of highway, your car would just be filled with that sweet, sweet aroma of freshly baked bread. If you've spent any time in a bakery or if you've baked bread yourself, you know what I'm talking about, right? It's a little, it's warm, it's yeasty, it's a little buttery, it's a little bit sweet. It's almost enough to make you forget about that traffic you're going to hit a 1/2 mile down the road. And a couple of weekends ago, my family and I had the opportunity to fly back to Columbus for a friend's wedding. And as we pulled out of the airport and drove down the highway, there was the Wonder Bread Factory. And guess what? They were baking bread. I like to think just for me. And the scent flowed into the car. And as we're driving down the highway, all of my memories of my years in Columbus came flooding back. Joys and sorrows lifted up in my mind, and now with the pleasure of hindsight, I'm able to look back on all of them and count them as a blessing. See, this is the power of scent for our lives, the power of a smell. See, we might not have the refined sense of smell that a dog or a cat or some other animal would, but we have this unique ability to take that scent and have a memory recall years down the line. It's that moment when you walk down the street and you catch a whiff of something that reminds you of your grandmother's perfume, and suddenly you're back sitting at her kitchen table learning how to play Go Fish. It's the moment when you smell spaghetti sauce bubbling away on the stovetop, and suddenly you're back in that little hole-in-the-wall Italian restaurant that you took your spouse for your first date. Less pleasant but equally powerful, it's that moment when you smell disinfectant and you're back in the hotel or in the hospital bed next to your loved one who is sick. The smell of one flower takes us back to a funeral. The smell of another takes us to our wedding. There are even studies that are being done now that say if you smell certain scents while you're studying for a test, if you take in those same scents as you take the actual test, you'll have a better chance to recall the information you were learning the first time. Wouldn't that have been nice to know a few years ago, right? This is the power of scent in our lives. To give for us this opportunity to have these incredibly meaningful memories brought back to us. And then also to draw others into those shared experiences. So as we hear the story about Mary and Jesus today, it is the scent, the aroma of the story that captures my attention. We hear that Mary had this jar of costly perfume, pure nard, we are told. Now, nard oil is something you can still get today. It's made from the spikenard plant, which I don't actually know what that means, but it's something that I learned, and I felt like you all should know it too. So you can make this oil from the spikenard plant, and today you would buy this in really small, typically, containers, like 5 milliliters at a time, and you can get that for about $16 or so on the internet. Or you can buy a 2-ounce container, which would be like, roughly 2.5 of our little communion cups for $155. 2 ounces for $155. So you can imagine why Judas might have been a little upset that Mary had spent the expense on a full pound of this stuff. And even now, nard oil is known to be so strong, such a pungent aroma, that it's recommended that you mix it in with other oils to kind of dilute its own scent, because the smell is too strong to take on its own. But that doesn't bother Mary. And so we're given this scene where we're all gathered into this little room, and it's mostly filled with people. Dinner is being cooked in the other room, so those wonderful aromas are already making their way into the dining space where we're gathered. But we're also gathered with a crowd of people who had spent all day walking in the dirt and the dust and who didn't know the convenience of modern showers. And so there are probably some less than pleasant aromas in the room as well. And as we gather in that space, suddenly we watch as Mary gets up from her position and walks over to the corner of the room. She starts to reach for a shelf. No one's noticing her at first. She reaches for one of those shelves that's just high enough to make sure that nothing could get knocked off of it, the place where you keep those really precious and valuable things. And she stretches to reach, and she pulls down this jar. And at this point, a hush starts to fall upon the room, and some of the eyes start to look at her as she clings and cradles this vessel. Even with the jar still closed, the scent of the oil is already overcoming her, and she's taken back just a few weeks, maybe a few months before when her brother had died. It's entirely possible that she had bought this very oil to use on his body, and yet something so incredible had happened that she's still not sure she can believe it, except that it must be true because her brother is eating at the table right behind her. And as she clings to this oil, the whole room now watching her, she feels their eyes on her back, but she does not care. So she walks around the table and makes her way to the feet of her rabbi. They're calloused, they're dirty, they're frankly just like every other set of feet at the table, except that Mary would follow these feet anywhere that they would lead. The room now silent, Mary opens the jar, and the aroma of this nard oil fills the space. The room is already hot. There's no ventilation in this space, and so very quickly, the aroma is overpowerful and weighing on the nostrils of those who gather there. Mary herself is overcome by the scent, but she doesn't care. She pours the oil out on her rabbi's feet. She hears voices in the background. Someone is angry. She can't tell who. Jesus is talking to them. She blocks all of that out of her mind. All that she focuses on is the smell of the oil and the touch of the feet in her hand. And then she takes the hair off of her shoulder and wipes the oil from his feet. An act so intimate that in other places we might consider it inappropriate to talk about this sort of thing. And the oil, as it moves down Jesus' feet into her hair, leaves her with this sweet scent, this sweet memory that she will be able to carry with her in the days and weeks to come. Now, a few verses after our story stopped today, we ended in verse 8. In verse 12, we hear the next day, Jesus has his last entry into Jerusalem, what we would call Palm Sunday. Next week, we'll recognize that story. And so one day before Palm Sunday, Mary has this encounter, which means that roughly a week from this moment, Jesus will be on the cross. And in an age where people are not showering every day with an oil and a scent as strong as nard, it's easy to imagine that this scent would still be on her hair as she stands with the crowd and watches from a distance. Imagine with me that she would just turn and smell, catch that whiff as Jesus hangs on the cross. And even in the midst of all the sorrow and grief that she experiences, she is taken back to the joy of that moment when she was so close, so well known by and to her Savior. That's the memory that she clings to. And the oil would be strong enough that those who gather around her would be able to smell it as well. And so as she stands with the women on the side of the hill and she consoles them and they place their head on her shoulder, they too would catch a whiff of that sweet perfume and remember the blessing of that moment. See, Mary knew that she had been blessed in her life. The blessing did not alleviate pain and suffering for her, but it gave her a confidence in the promises yet unfulfilled. It gave her assurance of hope in things not yet seen. It gave her wisdom to see what was coming for Jesus, coming for her rabbi, even when the disciples who were closest to him still had no idea what was coming. But more importantly than any of that, Mary realized that the blessings that had been poured out on her life were not for her alone. These were blessings that were meant to be shared, so that others might be drawn into this same story of love. That's the beauty of the oil on her hair, because it's not just for her. It's for all those who pass by, all those who catch a whiff and are drawn to think, what was that? I need to follow that thing. I need to find out more about that. And what we know about Mary, what we know about Mary and Martha from the stories we hear in the Gospels is that long after the oil would have been gone from her hair, long after the scent was done, the way they lived their lives, the way they continued to follow after Jesus would have continued to act as that scent for others, so that others would see them following and loving and serving their Lord and would say, I want to be a part of that. I want to know more about what's happening there. That's the joy and the gift of blessing when we use our blessing to bless others, so that others might be drawn into the love of God as we have first had that love poured out upon us. Now, I don't have a bottle of pure nard today, and tragically, I still have not been able to build a bread factory, but we do have blessing in our lives, because every week, we get to gather in this space. We get to come to the table, and we get to eat together and share the bread and share the wine with all those who dine across time and across space. We get to lift our voices in song in the moments of joy and in the moments of lament. We get to walk through the wilderness together. We get to repent together. We are forgiven together. And we wait for the coming of our Lord together. And all of these blessings are poured out upon our lives, not so that we hold them and cling to them ourselves, but so we might leave this building reeking of the love of God. So that as we walk down the street, others cannot help but turn their head and say, what's that? I need to follow that thing. I need to find out where that scent is coming from. I need to find out what's different about this person. I need to know more about what is causing them to live their life that way. And they too get to enter into this incredible love of God that we have had poured out upon us. So that's my prayer for us this Lenten season as we move through these last couple of weeks. that God would indeed continue to create in us blessing. Not because we need it for ourselves, but so that we might be a blessing for others. So that as we leave this space, the world would be blessed through our presence. So that in the moments of joy, in the moments of sorrow, in the moments where we feel as though we're walking alone through the wilderness, in the moments when we're walking down the street hand in hand, wherever we might find ourselves, that the sense of God would go with us. And that it, like a sweet bread factory, or like a jar of pure nard, that scent might come off of us and draw others into the incredible love of God. God loves each of you, and I do too.